shed my shirt too soon.
It's chilly.
Tough guys, tough tennis shorts too. Morning.
Yeah, your hands are a bit chilly.
I'm good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Judy still needs prayer. I guess she was at the hospital again yesterday. So continue to remember Judy in your prayers. Thursday is Shirley's birthday. So happy birthday, Shirley. This evening we'll be in Samson's Riddle, Judges 14, verses 12 to 20. But this morning we are dealing with the introduction to Samson, the continuation of that cycle of disobedience and repentance and forgiveness and deliverance. And God is faithful. Before we get started this morning, though, Brother Tom, would you open in prayer, please?
Lord Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each and every day that we wake up and we find that we have a new day that we're still living, and a new day to thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us at Calvary. We pray, Lord, now that your Spirit be with us and hear your word spoken. Be with your speaker, Lord. Be with us as we hear. And I pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. God continued to send deliverers to Israel, but as with Samson, he began to deliver Israel. And even our lives is a continual battle, a spiritual battle. But we have been assured of the victory. And Jesus Christ is the one who saves. We look to these examples of faith of the deliverers and the judges of Israel, but the ultimate example, the chief example for our edification that we are to follow after is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of His people. The hymn is 370, Jesus Saves.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea, echo back the ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By His death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sound salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Samson was certainly a flawed character, but even we are but sinners saved by grace. And we must learn from Samson's mistakes, even as we model his faith. We are instructed to yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. The hymn is 658.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith he shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is the Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through.
Amen. And as the judges were often military leaders, instigators of great reform, the ultimate example for our pattern, our instruction, through the illuminating presence of the Holy Spirit is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He leadeth me. The hymn is 500.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters calm or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand. And when my task on earth is done,
Amen. And please stand. We're going to ask Ken to read this passage this morning. We're primarily going to deal with verses 1 to 14. But for context, would you please read all of Judges 13?
All 13. Okay. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said to me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat anything unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest with unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither drink, let her drink any wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered upon the rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up through heaven, or toward heaven, from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and the meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, or would at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol.
Thank you. Please be seated. He shall begin to deliver the children of Israel. This Judge Samson is very much like many of the rest of God's servants, flawed human beings, sinners saved by grace. And yet throughout history, God has marvelously chosen to use earthen vessels, human beings, to accomplish his work, to proclaim his message, to do his will. And such was the case with a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton was born in 1725. He was a blasphemous rebel. He was a riotous man, a slave trader. But God called him out of all that. He changed his heart. In the midst of a violent storm, he came to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on April 29th, the year 1764, he was ordained to preach in the Church of England. He went on to preach faithfully for the next 43 years, writing probably the most recognized hymn in all of Christianity, a hymn which was, in many respects, an autobiographical account. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And he wrote many other hymns as well, some of which are still in use today. But John Newton also was influential in the life of a young member of Parliament by the name of William Wilberforce. And it was William Wilberforce whom God used to lead the movement to eliminate the slave trade throughout the British Empire. But John Newton was transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. He was enabled to do that which God had called him to do. Despite his past failings, despite his past sins, God marvelously blessed him and used him in his kingdom. And so too, he promises to use us to redeem those years lost to the locust, to transform our lives in faithfulness and in obedience to himself, to make us more like Christ. And thus we remember John Newton, and thus we remember Samson. Samson is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy in his own right. During the departing blessing upon his sons, the dying Jacob, pronounced in Genesis 49, verse 16, that Dan shall be a judge over Israel among his people. And that was issued in about 1859 BC. It took more than 770 years for that prophecy to have come to fulfillment. And yet God remained faithful to his promise. Israel by this time was in its continuing cycle of rebellion, chastening and suffering, repentance, and restoration and deliverance. And here, by about 1090 BC, they had again fallen into that pattern of sin. They came under a 40-year domination by the Philistines. The Philistines are a familiar group in many of the chapters of Scripture. Philistines is a word which means foreigners or immigrants. According to Genesis 21, they had begun to settle in the Mediterranean coast region of Palestine by about the time of Abraham, more than 1,000 years before Samson. And they extended their influence inland, oftentimes being a thorn in the side of the Israelites. And yet here, we have another example of God's sovereign hand, his working in the history of the nations to accomplish his purpose. But the account here does not begin with the onset of the exploits of the judge, as most of the other judges do. Samson was the last of the judges of Israel until the time of Samuel and the institution of the kingdom of Israel under Saul. But Samson was a man more remembered for his flaws of character and his wandering eye more than his faith. And yet the scripture reminds us that God knows the end from the beginning. And He will bring to pass all that He has purposed to do in the lives of His people. In Hebrews 11, it is Samson who is mentioned in that verse 32 regarding the time does not permit to say of the faith of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. He's mentioned in passing there, but his inclusion in the hall of faith is a reminder to us that God saw what He was planning to do in the life of Samson. And despite his character flaws and his weakness, God showed his strength. And God called him for the occupation by the Philistines had begun shortly after the death of Jephthah the judge. Samson apparently came to age at about the time of the death of Eli and the capture of the Ark of the Covenant by the Philistines. And though they conquered and controlled Israel for the next 40 years, it was during that first 20 years, the judgeship of Samson, that he began to deliver his people, that Israel was in the process of being freed from the dominion of the Philistines. So the account picks up prior to the birth of this chosen one, Samson. We read that the angel of the Lord appeared to a man and his wife. Manoah lived on that western slope in the region of the Danites, the territory of the tribe of Dan. This was near the border with Judah, but it was also near the border with the Philistines. And Manoah apparently had his problems as well. He had his doubts and his fears. But God worked out his sovereign purpose in the lives of Manoah and his wife as he showed his faithfulness to them and to the children of Israel. And he provided a judge, a deliverer, Samson. Zora, the location of their dwelling, was very near unto the Philistines. They were themselves frequently at risk of harassment by the invading Philistines. And as they were there, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Manoah's wife. He reminded her that she was barren, though she probably did not need to be reminded of that fact. But we see the faithfulness of God. For just as He had provided a miraculous birth to provide a son to Sarah, to Rachel, to Hannah, and later to Elizabeth, so too we see here the appearance and the promise of God delivered unto Manoah's wife, that though she was barren, she would bear a son. And this reaffirms the supernatural power of God, His ability to accomplish His purpose despite our weakness. One of the blessings of the children of Israel as they obeyed the word of the Lord that they had received at Mount Sinai was that their women would not be barren. And yet the fact that Manoah's wife and many others down through the centuries were in fact barren was a testament to the disobedience of the nation of Israel, the chastening hand of God upon them. But despite all of that, at times God manifested His mercy and His grace to provide, even in the midst of barrenness, that there would be a ray of hope, that there would be a deliverer. And the angel of the Lord speaks unto Manoah's wife and instructs her that for the remainder of her pregnancy. She must abstain from wine and strong drink, to not eat of anything that is unclean. And these were the typical requirements for a Nazarite. The Nazarite vows of Israel were typically of short duration. Like the Apostle Paul, they were adopted at certain times in one's walk of faith. But this was to be a Nazarite vow imposed upon Manoah's wife, the mother of Samson, and throughout the lifetime of the appointed judge Samson. No razor should come upon his head. He must abstain from eating and drinking the fruit of the vine, wine, until the day of his death. He was not to eat of any unclean thing. And these, of course, were part of the dietary laws imposed in Leviticus 11. And the Nazarite vow in particular was referenced in Numbers 6, verses 1 to 8. But Samson was required to fulfill this requirement for the duration of his lifetime. Manoah's wife went to her husband Manoah and told him of the appearance of this man of God, an angel of God, of fearful and terrible countenance. She told Manoah of what the angel had told her, the requirements for the son who would be born by the amazing power of God, despite their barrenness. And Manoah, not knowing who the heavenly visitor was, he cried out to the Lord that the man of God would come again to them and repeat his instruction. And God heard. He overlooked Manoah's weakness and his doubts, and he appeared again unto Manoah's wife. He repeated the instruction that Samson must refrain from wine and strong drink, from eating any unclean thing, and that the razor should not come upon his head. She ran and told her husband, and he came quickly, and he said, "Are you the man that appeared the other day to my wife?" And the angel of the Lord responded, "I am." That familiar affirmation of the title of God, the name of God that often he used throughout the Old Testament, even at the burning bush with Moses. And that title which the Lord himself adopted and claimed for himself. But it's apparent that Manoah was still not absolutely convinced of who this individual was. He perhaps feared that it was an appearance of some demonic influence. Perhaps it was some other god of the land. He did not fully recognize that this was the true God. And many times we do not recognize the hand of God, the word of God, in the heat of the battle. It's oftentimes only upon reflection that we see the sovereign protecting hand of God in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our circumstances. But God remains faithful to his people. He will finish that work which he has begun in us. And Manoah came to realize, though the angel said unto them, "I will not eat with you. And if you offer a sacrifice, you must offer it to the Lord, not to any other god, not to any one whom you know not. It must be offered unto the Lord." And then he ascended in the flame up to heaven, convincing Manoah and his wife as to who he really was. And again, we see the fear of Manoah. He says, "Oh, we're surely going to die. We've seen God." And yet his wife is the reassuring calmness in the midst of the fear. She said, "If God had intended to kill us, He wouldn't have given us this message. He wouldn't have accepted our sacrifice. He would not have let us live to this point. So they began to realize who this angel of the Lord was, a pre-incarnate Christ, a realization that God had appeared to them, that He had expressed His intention to provide a deliverer for Israel. And they were told that Samson would begin to deliver Israel. Not that he would complete it. His 20-year judgeship was only the beginning of the process. And as we too are often a work in progress, not yet complete, and yet we are instructed, even as Samson was instructed to separate himself from the ways of the world by virtue of the Nazarite vows, we are to separate from the ways of the world. We are not to go the broad road to destruction, but we're to go that straight and narrow way in a path of obedience and faithfulness to the word of the Lord, seeking to pattern our lives after the example of the Savior, so that we might one day arrive at that destination where He has gone to prepare for us. Manoah's wife said to her husband that the angel of the Lord had instructed her that Samson must not drink wine or strong drink, that he must not eat of any unclean thing from the time in the womb until the date of his death. And that too may have been a veiled instruction, a veiled hint that Samson would die in the completion of his task, that he would suffer and die in accomplishing that which God had called him to do. Even as Mary was given that premonition shortly after the time of Christ's birth, of the great pain in her heart and the eventual death of her son to accomplish our redemption and our salvation. Samson was told that he would begin to deliver Israel. And as he came of age, we'll pick up this account, Lord willing, tonight, his wandering eye, his desire to disregard the instruction of his people that they marry only within their tribe or among their people, he desired to marry a Philistine. And yet it was God's marvelous purpose that Samson would do so, so that the judgment of God might be accomplished. The Philistines did not conquer the nation of Israel in the same battle formation that often occurred in the times of conquest and domination. They were more terroristic, more harassing in their dominion, seizing crops, instituting events of terror and intimidation, so that the Israelites would pay them tribute, so that they would live in fear. And so too we often live in our lives, fearful of the reaction of others to the message of the gospel, fearful that the way in which we live our lives will be more of an offense to man than to God. But we are warned of the dangers of compromise, the dangers of following the ways of the world. And we are instructed that it is better to obey God rather than man. Christ Himself said that we must count the cost. We're to take up our cross and follow Him. The angel of the Lord did not appear again unto Manoah and his wife. Samson was eventually born, and he began to do mightily among the region of Zorah and in the area in which the tribe of Dan lived. God fulfilled his promise that there would be a judge from the tribe of Dan. He would judge Israel, that he would judge among his people. And thus, in his due time, God raised up Samson as that judge. He began to deliver Israel. Though he did not finish the work. That task was not completed until years later at the Battle of Ebenezer, 1 Samuel 7, verse 13. And yet, Samson began the process. He began the work. And we too are challenged as children of God to do that which God has called us to do in the corner in which we live, in the whatever situation he has placed us, whether it be in our workplace, in our family, in our church, in our community, in our nation. He has called his people to be the parts of the body of Christ, to be the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet, to do that which Christ has called his people to do. And thus, it is his enabling power. As the Spirit of God came unto Samson at many times, at various times throughout his life, and accomplished great feats, great exploits. In the New Testament sense, in the gospel era, we are told that the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will teach us all things. He will seal us. He will equip us for the task at hand, to do that which God has called us to do. Samson served as the judge of Israel. He was not the typical judge. He was not a military leader. He was not a great reformer. His acts of retaliation against the Philistines were very much like their actions of intimidation, of harassment. Little battles here and there, but not huge military conflicts. And yet we are told too that at the date of his death, after he was strengthened again as he prayed unto the Lord for strength one more time to do that which God had called him to do, Samson had the faith to believe that God would give him that strength, that he would find forgiveness despite his failings, despite the loss of his eyesight that had come as a result of his own pride, his own stubbornness. He was strengthened. He was enabled. He was equipped to do that final act. And in his death, he slew more Philistines than he had during the course of his 20 years as judge of Israel. God used him, and he notes the great faith of Samson in the pages even of the Hall of Faith of Hebrews 11. God will receive the glory from his people despite our flaws, despite our problems, despite our weaknesses. He will do that which his sovereign will has purposed to do. And thus we can be assured that the work of God will continue, that the gospel message will go forth. He has promised that his word will not return void. And thus we can be assured that if we faithfully obey, he will bless us. We are to be prepared in season and out of season. There are times of sowing. There are times of harvest. There's a time for everything under the sun, the writer of Ecclesiastes said. And even in a dreary day such as today, the Spirit of God can still enlighten the darkness, to reveal his power, to show us his will, and to accomplish that which he has called us to do. The hymn reminds us of the faithfulness of God despite all of the troubles of this world. We live in a fallen world. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never leave nor forsake us. He'll never abandon his people. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, even for eternity. The hymn, is 6:16.
Our God, sorry. 6:16.
We got the wrong.
Wrong hymn.
Yeah, it's, we have
God of our
God
of our
Father.
Okay.
God of our fathers.
Okay, let's do that one.
God
of our fathers, whose almighty hand leans forth in beauty all the starry band, a shining world in splendor through the skies, our grateful songs before thy throne arise. Thy love divine hath led us in the past, in this free land by thee our lot is cast. Be thou our ruler, guardian, guide and stay. Thy paths are chosen way. From war's alarms, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense. Thy true religion in our hearts increase. Thy boundless good people on their toilsome way, lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine. Hail, glory, God, and praise be ever.
Amen. Sorry about that. I was debating between two hymns there, and I picked the other one. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He began to deliver Israel by the hand of Samson. He will use us to accomplish His purpose, to do the work of the kingdom. He brings peace and joy and contentment. He brings, in the midst of our fallen world, hope and joy and peace. The joy to the world, the Lord is come. The hymn is 149.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let He rules the world with truth and grace. and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your sovereign power that works even in the midst of our weaknesses, our frailties. And we pray that you would help us to do that which you've called us to do. Help us to be the light in the darkness. Help us to be the salt and light of the earth. Help us to be ambassadors for your kingdom, that others might recognize their sin, that they might turn from it, and that they might confess their faith, even as Samson did, to stand for the truth, to resist the spiritual enemies which we face, and to overcome by the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And may we serve him. May we honor and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we look for his deliverance in this sinful world, that one day we shall be forever with him. Amen.
Any thoughts?